it's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm sitting in the lobby of the Omni William Penn Hotel in downtown Pittsburgh, right in the restaurant area. Tomorrow, the William Penn Hotel turns 100 years old. Of course, it's now known as the Omni William Penn. This Renaissance Revival building opened on March 9th, 1916, and today we're celebrating the symbol of elegance and luxurious accommodation that this hotel has been in the middle of downtown Pittsburgh by looking back at some of its history over the past century with Bob Page. He's director of sales and marketing at the Omni William Penn Hotel. Bob Page, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's great to be with you.
What did a room cost at the William Penn Hotel back in 1916?
Well, it was quite a bit less than it is today. So back in 1916, on opening night, a regular guest room was $2.50, and the most expensive suite in the hotel was $50. So quite a bit different from today's prices.
But, of course, $2.50 back in 1916 was a lot more money than it is today. And all of the rooms, as I understand it, had something that was amazing, a revelation for people back then. There was a phone in every room, and there was electricity in every room. This was really something, wasn't it?
It really was. And along with a phone and electricity, there was iced drinking water on tap in each guest room. And it was one of the very first hotels that had private bathrooms in each guest room. Most hotels at that time and during that era had privies, which were shared use restrooms. So this hotel was way ahead of its time when it opened.
Talk about what the economic and the political climate was like in Pittsburgh when this hotel was built.
Well, obviously, Pittsburgh was in the middle of the Industrial Revolution during that time, and our owner and who built the hotel, the initial builder of the hotel, Henry Clay Frick, was business partners with Andrew Carnegie, and he provided all of the coke for Andrew Carnegie's steel ovens. They weren't very fond of each other, but they had to work together because they both needed each other very much to be successful in their businesses.
And so when this building was built, the idea was to accommodate a lot of people. The rooms were smaller than they are now, but there was also an eye toward elegance, and I think it might be fair to say opulence. Can you talk about the style of the building and what's notable about the architecture?
Sure. Yeah. Henry Clay Frick, he developed this hotel and styled this hotel away from some of the great hotels that he experienced when he traveled to Europe on business. So he spared no expense in putting this hotel together. He was a very competitive man, and he wanted his hotel to be the best hotel, one of the best hotels in the world and the finest hotels in the world. So everything that he did here was first class, and he spared no expense on it. This hotel had every conceivable service imaginable. It had a candle maker, it had a locksmith, it had a butcher shop, it had a bakery, it had hair salons for men and women both. So it was just way ahead of its time. And, you know, they used to state the fact that if you came to the William Penn, you never really needed to leave, because everything that you ever could possibly need was here.
And as I understand it, by the 1930s, the William Penn was the largest hotel east of the Mississippi?
That's correct. So it opened with 1,000 guest rooms initially, and then the Grant Street Annex was added on in 1929, which included the historic urban room on the backside of the hotel. When that annex was added on to the hotel, an additional 600 guest rooms were added along with it. So at one point, this hotel was 1,600 guest rooms.
Wow. And of course, also in the 1930s, we had the Great Depression. And Black Friday was actually 1929, but by the 30s, America was facing the darkest economic times in recent history. How did the hotel adjust to the socioeconomic and sociopolitical events of that particular era, including the Great Depression?
Well, the hotel did see its share of hard times as well, and there were a number of times when the hotel almost closed. You know, it seemed that every time that that was on the forefront, somebody came in and was able to rescue the hotel or reinvest in it, and they kept it running. So we're very happy that that occurred, you know, as part of the history of the hotel, because today it wouldn't be here, unfortunately, and they would have torn it down, which I think was on the docket on a number of occasions. So we're thrilled that that did not happen, that the hotel still exists today.
One of the good things about the advent of the decade of the 30s was it did bring an end to the era of Prohibition. I think most people would say that was a good thing. Some might disagree with that. But did the hotel do some things to get around that in the 1920s when Prohibition was happening?
We sure did. So there is a speakeasy here in the hotel today. And this speakeasy was here back in the day, that day as well. It was boarded up for probably 40 to 50 years. And when we went through our last round of renovations, we were able to convince our owner to provide money for us to renovate that, reopen it to the public. And it's sort of tucked under the stairwell there in the front of the hotel down on the lower level. But it's a great room. You know, I think we did a lot of learning about speakeasies while we were opening that. And we learned that Pittsburgh probably had more speakeasies than any other city in the country. So
can we go, is it open now? Can we go down there later?
Yeah, we can. Sure. We can go down and take a look.
All right, yeah, I would like that. And what was the password? I think they keep the same password the whole time to get into the place?
I'm sure that password changed numerous times. You know, there was, even in the back corner of the speakeasy, there was an escape route for when the police would raid it. So that's still there today. We can certainly take a look at that, but it's a really neat room. But I'm certain that password changed pretty regularly.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and I'm talking with Bob Page. He's Director of Sales and Marketing for the Omni William Penn Hotel, celebrating its 100th anniversary tomorrow. And who are some of the celebrities over the course of 100 years who have visited the William Penn?
Oh, gosh, we've had so many celebrities that have stayed here. You know, Jackie Gleason, all the way from Jackie Gleason to, you know, even modern movie stars today. You know, Jake Gyllenhaal. We've had Denzel Washington stay with us. We've had just a number of different, numerous movie stars. And a lot of movies are filmed here in the hotel as well, so.
What are some of the unusual requests that some of the guests might have had? I understand Jackie Gleason ordered like a tub of ice cream one time.
That's correct. He did. And we've had another guest who I won't name, but at one point requested a bathtub full of champagne. So that was sort of an interesting request as well.
Was it a male or female?
It was a male.
Interesting. Okay. What is the Lawrence Welk connection to the Omni William Penn?
Sure. So Lawrence Welk actually got his start here, and he played right here in the terrace dining room, which we are sitting right outside of, and he played on New Year's Eve in 1938. So he was a young band leader at the time, and the other connection to him here is that we have his bubble machine that he adopted for his use for his champagne music theme. That bubble machine really wasn't developed for him, but it was developed for Cecil B. DeMille, who was premiering a movie here in 1948 up in the Urban Room called The Unconquered. And he had an ice carving of a bathtub, and he wanted something to enhance that ice carving for his premiere party. So he asked one of the maintenance staff here, the chief engineer, chief maintenance man, if he could concoct something that would make bubbles for him. So he took the lid of a shoeshine box, a bread pan, a tuna lid can, a lid from a tuna can, and he welded the spokes onto that, and then he took an old clock motor from one of the guest rooms and a fan from one of the guest rooms, and he mounted all of these on top of the shoeshine lid box, and it made bubbles. And we still have it today, and we have it on display.
That story alone, that's tremendous. There is, you know, certainly a lot of history here, and it is preserved, I think, as well as you could possibly do it in a hotel that the likes of which will probably never be built this way again. So what are the challenges associated with maintaining a building this historic? Is there a committee that makes decisions about what gets restored and what will be altered?
Well, we do have designers. Omni does have designers from our corporate office, but it obviously is a huge challenge to maintain a building of this age. This building is also very large. Many people don't realize that this building is over 1 million square feet. It covers a complete city block. You know, as you look at, you know, old pipes, different things of that nature, you know, we have to have a pretty strong preventative maintenance program, and our engineering staff does a great job with that, maintaining all of the assets that we have here in the hotel. And many of them, as you know, are historic. When you look at the beautiful ceilings and the plaster work that they do, you know, nobody does that kind of work anymore. So it's very, very important that we maintain those assets to be beautiful for another 100 years.
And I'm looking up at the ceiling, and there is a WP and sort of a gold leaf in the plaster little panels in the ceiling has some sort of gold leaf.
It does, yes. So this was the original plasterwork. These ceilings are all original, and it was the original plasterwork that was done. And in each of these little trays, as we call them, up in the ceiling, there is a WP crest that is reminiscent of when the hotel was built and first named and after its namesake. So just really a gorgeous architecture involved in that.
So how will the centennial be celebrated tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we will have Pittsburgh's largest birthday cake, and that will kick off at 11:30, and we'll have that here in the center of the lobby. You might have noticed that we've removed all of the furniture from the center of the lobby, and that cake will be constructed in our lobby and in the center. We're going to kick it off with that celebration to wish happy birthday to the hotel, and how we're doing that is we're also going to be offering candles for sale to the general public, and we're going to provide all those proceeds back to Variety, the children's charity, which was started here in the hotel. So we wanted to give back to the community and find a way to do that and help them share in our celebration, and we felt that it was very important to be able to do that. So,
was it Liberace who had the champagne?
I won't say, but Liberace did stay here.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to divulge anything you weren't comfortable sharing about the guests who've stayed here, as any good hotel employee would. Bob Page is Director of Sales and Marketing for the Omni William Penn, celebrating 100 years of existence. We've been talking with him near the restaurant on the first floor, right by the lobby of this ornate building. Bob, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's been great to be with you as well, and we're excited about the anniversary. Thank you.